Move into the morning message, which is coming from John chapter 16. Now, I stated before, we did open worship that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And it's in Acts 3:38, Peter is teaching, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." So this morning, just a few weeks ago, we got out of John 15. We talked about the vine and the branches, and Jesus appointing us to go and bear fruit and that sort of thing. And now in 16, Jesus starts teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And I feel that the Holy Spirit is just such an important part of the Trinity, such a very important part. And God has just been having me chase him all over the Bible these last couple weeks, just learning about the Holy Spirit. And so let's read John 16, verses 5 through 16. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me." What an awesome 15, 16 verses that we just read. Not quite 16, minus 5. Jesus starts out talking to the Holy Spirit. Or talking to his disciples. Now he says, I'm going to him who sent me. Now Jesus has already predicted his death three times to his disciples. It's coming up time to be crucified. Jesus knows what his purpose is for being on the earth. And so he knows that by saying this to his disciples, they don't reply, "Where are you going?" So he knows that they are very grieved. And Jesus says this, "But I tell you the truth," this is how he comforts them, "it is for your good that I am going away." I look at that, and that makes me pretty excited. Think about the disciples who have spent these last 3 years of ministry with Jesus, the Messiah, God's chosen one, sent down, and they're like, "How? You're leaving us?" Jesus says, "No, this is for your good." And I'm thinking, how can that be good that the Son of God is going to leave the disciples? How can they see that being good? And then Jesus says, "Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Right there, what's Jesus saying? The Holy Spirit is going to be better for you than the relationship that I have with you right now. That's Jesus Christ in the flesh. God in the flesh with the disciples. And he's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be better for you. It will fulfill you in a way that I cannot because of the way our relationship is. I think that's pretty cool, because does anybody know that we have the Holy Spirit today? He's basically saying, "Hey, the Holy Spirit's better than me." We'll get to that in just a little bit. Jesus goes on and he says that I will send the Counselor to you, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then he starts talking about in verse 8 through 11 what the Holy Spirit's work in the world is going to be. In verse 8 it says, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin." That's the first thing, in regard to righteousness, in regards to judgment. So the Holy Spirit's got some work to do in the world, and the first thing is about sin. In verse 9 it says, "In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me." A lot of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, aren't there? There were a lot of people back then who didn't believe in Jesus Christ either, even though he walked among them. But if we reject Jesus Christ, we are sinning. Because we are rejecting what is good. There's only one who is good, and that is God. When we reject Jesus, we're embracing sin. And the world will try to teach you that, you know, there's good things that come out of the world too. But there's not. There's only one place that good comes from, and that's God. And so he's going to convict the world of its guilt in regards for sin and not believing in Jesus Christ. In verse 10 it says, in regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And I look at that and I'm thinking, that makes me think about Jesus hanging on the cross and the people yelling and jeering at him. It makes me think about him being tortured and having to carry his cross, what those people yelled at him. If you're a king, come on down. If you're a king, send your angels down. It makes me think about the time that he was being tempted in the wilderness when Satan was like, turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself off of this mountain and your angels will come and they'll rescue you. Jesus chose to be human over God. Up until the point that he rises from the grave and conquers death. The Holy Spirit is going to be the proof that Jesus was who he said he was. He was who his disciples claimed he was. That he was righteous. And I think about that from a human perspective. I'm thinking, wow, that's got to be one of the hardest things that he had to do besides die on the cross was to hold it back. All of these disbelieving people knowing that all he had to do was snap his fingers and all heaven would come down. He's going to let the Holy Spirit do that work for him. And then it says, and in regard to judgment, going to convict the world of judgment because who reigns in the world? The devil. Jesus says that the devil is now stands condemned. He says this even before he's been crucified, even before he's conquered death, because he knows. Devil knows. Satan knows that he is condemned. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's work is going to be in the world. Now Jesus goes on to talk to his disciples in verse 12 and he says, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do in us. And this gets me super excited just to read it. I have much more to say to you, more now than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that cool? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all things true. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit cannot lead you astray. So he's telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you guys in all things that are true. He will not speak on his own. That's the other thing that really got me. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. The Holy Spirit relays to me what God tells it to relay to me. The Holy Spirit speaking to you is God speaking to you. And what the Holy Spirit says to you is specifically what God tells it to say to you. That's pretty cool. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. And then the Holy Spirit is going to bring glory to Jesus by taking from what is Christ and making it known to you. So these disciples who have been with Jesus for these 3 years are going to have stuff made known to them that cannot be made known to them just by Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is going to be able to make things known to them in their hearts that they would not be able to understand without it. And it says, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. I think the Holy Spirit is pretty cool. I really do. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that I honestly have not understood in its entirety. And for the past 2 weeks, God has just been leading me to this part of the Trinity. Did you know that the Trinity has specific jobs? God has three jobs. There's God, creator, sustainer, maker of all life. What happened? We sinned. God is holy. We are not. We can't be in God's presence because if we are, we will die. God says, I got to get my kids back. Since Jesus, as a human, lives on the earth for 33 years. What was Jesus' job? What's his ultimate job? Number one reason. died for our sins, needed a sacrifice. Jesus is our atonement. The reason for Jesus is our salvation. So God sends Jesus down, and Jesus is going to leave his disciples because he knows that his job is about finished. After he dies and conquers death and rises again, Jesus' purpose on the earth is done. Now God says, "Now I got it. Now that I've got my kids, now that they believed in Jesus and now that they become atoned for all of their sins because of that sacrifice, I want to talk to them." So he sends the Holy Spirit. And so Peter teaches in Acts that when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes down into you. And that Holy Spirit that we center down for, when we center down for open worship, it's so that the Holy Spirit, so that we can claim that Holy Spirit that is inside of you. Do you claim your Holy Spirit? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have a Holy Spirit. If you have a Holy Spirit, God has a direct connection with you. You've got to connect with your Holy Spirit. You've got it. Jesus is in your heart. God wants to communicate with you. So there's the three jobs. There's God, the Creator. There's Jesus, the Atonement. And there's the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, that will guide us in the ways of all truth. And Jesus says that it's good for me to go because what he had with his disciples was an external relationship. You've got Jesus, man, and you've got the disciples, men. Jesus is trying to teach them and to get things in their heart, but you know the Holy Spirit is not me and the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. It's a seal that has been given to me saying that God owns me. We'll get into that more next week because there's a lot more to learn about the Holy Spirit. That the relationship that the disciples had with Jesus Christ was not as good until they had the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for us? Our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, better than it was with the disciples when they had Christ standing right beside them. Wow. Have you claimed your Holy Spirit lately? Have you connected to Father God who has given you that Holy Spirit because he loves you so much? Use it. The Holy Spirit is in you for a reason. When you pray, claim the Holy Spirit that is within you. I pray and I say, Holy Spirit, I claim that seal that God has put on me. I recognize that you are in me. My heart is open to you. Please speak to me. God speaks. The relationship that you can have through the Holy Spirit to God is better than the relationship you can have. Jesus was standing as a human right beside you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us this awesome gift in the Trinity. Yourself, your Son who atoned for our sins, and the Holy Spirit, who is our great counselor and guide, who leads us in the ways of all truth if we just let him. And the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own, but speaks only what he hears from you. But we thank you that when our Holy Spirits, when our spirits speak to us, that we know that they are from you. We know that it is you communicating with us. And as we continue to learn about this awesome presence in our lives, the seal that says that we are yours, that has been stamped upon our hearts, open us up to understand. Open our hearts up to the Holy Spirit so that we can be led in the ways of all truth, in the ways of you. In your name we pray. Amen.